Hey, today's daf is Menachos daf Kuf Aleph. Elisha left off on the top line of Kuf Aleph and Aleph yesterday, so that's where we're going to pick up. Ubal mum hechi ikri tumma. So the first thing we're going to discuss is that the Gemara made mention on the bottom of Kuf Amud Beis that the Torah sometimes refers to a bal mum as a tame. So we're going to try to find where does the Torah call a bal mum tame? And then the Gemara is going to spend a good amount of time discussing the comment of Shmuel right at the beginning of the Gemara on Kuf Amud Beis, where Shmuel had said, "Afilu hein tahorin niftin," that you could have kachin that is still tahor, and yet you're allowed to be poda it. And the sachim menachos that even though they're still tahor, you could be poda. So we're going to challenge Shmuel. We're going to show those who disagree with Shmuel, and that's going to take us through the rest of Amud Aleph. And then on Amud Beis, Gemara is going to have a discussion whether a mincha that became pigul and is therefore aser bana and other Yisrayana, can they become Tamei Tumas Ochlin? Is something that itself is Asar Bana, is it still subject to Tumas Ochlin? Meaning physically it's a perfectly edible food, so on that level you would think it is subject to Tumas Ochlin, but halachically it is a perfectly inedible food. It is something that's not only not edible, it's Asar Bana. You're not even allowed to give it to anybody else to eat, so therefore one might assume it's not Tamei Tumas Ochlin. So that's going to be a discussion through the majority of Amud Beis, and then at the end of Amud Beis we're going to discuss how, according to Rabbi Shimon holds the idea of kala omed le is kid, that anything that's omed for the next step, it's as if that next step has already occurred. So anything that could have and should have had a shas hakosher is mitame tumas ochlin, meaning that's going to be the how we wrap up the discussion about tumas ochlin when it comes to Rabbi Shimon, is that even if right now something is not halachically okay to eat, but it once was, it had a shas hakosher, or perhaps even if it could have had a shas hakosher, maybe that's enough to say that it's tamei tumas ochlin. So let's begin again at the top of daf kuf aleph amud aleph. We are at the top line ubal mum hecha ikri tamei. So we had just mentioned that on kuf amud beis that a tamei is like a balmum and a balmum is like a tamei, because a balmum is ikri tamei. A balmum is called tamei in the Torah, and therefore we had this havamina that a tamei is balmum dummy, and even though it's kadosh kadosh saguf, when it has a mum, it should be niftes. So kachim that are that menachos nesachim that have kadosh saguf, because they're put in the klisharis, we should be able to be pod to them if they are tame. That was the havamina, all based on this idea that a balmum is also called tame. So it says Gemara, balmum hecha ikri tame. Where do we ever find in the Torah that a balmum is called tame? D'tanya, the Braisa tells us as follows: v'im kol beima tameya asher leyakrivu mimena korban laHashem. That's the pasuk. So the pasuk says you have a behema tameya that you can't bring it as a korban. So you mamid the behema in front of the kohen. The kohen assesses bein tov bein ra kerkha kohen kein yeh. He assesses the value of the behema. So behema tameya that we're talking about that you can't bring as a korban. So you have to assess its value so you can be poda. So you can be poda it. But balimumin sheniftin akasam medaber. This pasuk is talking about balimumin that are nifsal carbon because of the mum. That's why you're being poded. It's not talking about behemos tameos, like the pasuk sounds like it's saying when it says behema tameya. It uses the term behema tameya, but it's not really about a behema tameya at all. It's really about a malmum. Atomer balimum and shiipadu oenuela bebehema tameya mamish. How do you know that it's talking about a balmum and it's telling us the din of pidyon by a balmum? Maybe it's talking about a behema tameya mamish that's possible to use as a carbon, like the pasuk seems to be saying explicitly. So Gemara says, no, it can't be that we're talking about a behemoth tamei that was hukdash for a karban. Because kishahu omer, when the pasuk goes on to say, v'im ba behemoth tamei ufado be'erkecha sahare behemoth tamei amura, the pasuk already covers the inyan of behemoth tamei. So hamani mekayimim kol behemoth tamei. What do I do with the pasuk that then says v'im kol behemoth tamei, if I already had a pasuk about behemoth tamei? V'balimum et shiiftu akasim medaber. Ah, must be that it's talking about balimum, that it's in Indian to behemoth tameya, so it must be that the discussion is really about a balmum. The Rambam in the Pirush Mishnayis points out that even though the lashon of the pasuk v'im kol behemet tamei asher lo yakrivu mimenu karban laHashem sounds like that it's not talking about a tamei kipshuto, because a behemet tamei cannot be brought as a karban. So you see that that there's got to be some other type of behema that cannot be brought as a karban, because it can't possibly be a regular behema tamei, says the Rambam, and that's how we know that it's got to be a balmum. So says the Gemara, Yachl Yiftu Almum Over. I might think, okay, so any Balmum, you're allowed to be Poda, Behema, that's a Balmum, that even if it's a Mum Over, it's a Mum that's not going to last, I would still think you could be Poda the animal. Talmud Lomer, that's why the Pasuk goes on to say, when it comes to Pidyon of Balei Mumin, Asher Lo Yakrivu Mimenu Korban LaHashem, that part of the definition of a Balmum that's subject to Pidyon is if it's Lo Yakrivu Mimenu Korban LaHashem, Misha in a Kreva LaHashem Kalikr, something that could not possibly brought as a carbon at all, because it's a mum kavua that's never going away. Yatzazu she'ina kreva hayom ukreva lemachar, as opposed to if an animal only has a mum over, okay, so you're not going to bring it as a carbon today, but tomorrow could be used as a carbon, so therefore it's not subject to pidyon. So you see in the Brisa clearly that a bal mum is referred to in the Torah as a tame. So that is point number one that we wanted to clarify, that yes, it is indeed true that sometimes the Torah will refer to a balmum as a tamim. Now we move on to the discussion that will take up the rest of the Amud, and that is that Shmuel had made this comment right at the beginning of the Gemara on Kuf Amud Beis, that Amr Shmuel va'afilu hein tahorin niftin, that menachos and nesachim, even if they're tahor, you could still be pod to them even when they are when they're tahor. So the Gemara is going to discuss. Most of Rav Huna bar Menoch asks on Shmuel. It says in our Mishnah, Ha'ofos ve'etzim v'alvona u'kleishari shenitmu ein lehem pidyon, that if you have birds or wood or levona or kleisharis that became tamei after they were ready kadosh, you cannot be po to them. Shalonemer pidyon ele bebehema, because pidyon is something that's only shayich to behemos. So bishlama ofos, I understand very well when we say that there's no pidyon for ofos because pidyon is only for behema. Kedush saguf ninu. Yeah, ofos have kedusha saguf from the time you're makdish them, because they could be brought on the mizbeach, and therefore that is a genuine kedush saguf. V'lo nemer el bebehema, the pidyon, the whole din of pidyon from kedusha saguf is only shaykh to behema, not to an oaf. Same sin, it makes a lot of sense that an oaf is not going to have pidyon because it has the highest form of kedusha, it has kedush saguf, and we know that pidyon from kedush saguf is only shaykh by behema. Ela eitzim ulevona uklishares, but eitzim and levona, which were not ever put into a klishares and therefore don't have kedush saguf, and klishares, which itself doesn't have kedush saguf because they're not a carbon, they're only machshire carbon, meaning whereas eitzim and levona could be part of a carbon, but they only take on the status of kedush saguf when they're placed in the klishares. So prior to being placed in the klishares, they don't have kedush saguf, and a klishares itself certainly doesn't have kedush saguf because it's only machshire carbon, it's not a carbon itself. So it's not shy to say about such things that you can't be po to them because kedush saguf is only a pidyon from kedush saguf is only by a behema. These things don't have kedush saguf to begin with. So livraku, why can't you be po to these things that don't have kedush saguf? Elalav mishum de tahorin ba'alma ein niftin. You have to say that it's because all kachim that are tahar in general, menachos, nesachim, are not niftin against Shmuel. Meaning Shmuel had said that menachos and nesachim that are tahar, you could be poda. So no, we must be assuming that menachos and nesachim that are tahar, you cannot be poda. V'hani nami, so these kachim that we're mentioning in the Mishnah, afagav denitmu, even though they became tame, kitahorim damu, they have the same status as kachim that are tahar, which cannot be nifte. The Eitzim and Levona, where it's not Shaykh Tumah, where Lav B'nei Ashwiyei Uchleninhu, there's no way to make them into an Ochel, so they never actually have full-fledged Tumah. Elechibas HaKodesh Mashvela Uchla. By Eitzim and Levona, the Chamor goes there, there are Dine Tumah on Eitzim and Levona, but it's not real Tumah, it's not real regular Tumah, because regular Tumah can only be Shaykh to something that's edible, and Eitzim and Levona are not edible. Okay, it's true, there's this notion of Chibas HaKodesh, that Eitzim and Levona, they're brought on the Mizbeach, so the Torah considers them an Ochel, and they're therefore subject to Tumah, but even once we made that Gezerah of Chibas HaKodesh, the Dine Tumah Levama are not do not universally apply to Eitzim Levana. Only specific Dine Tuma apply to Eitzim Levana. The Eitzim Kamedol Meshapilu Lugzirin. So long as you haven't smoothed out the wood to use as blocks of wood on the Mairacha, Lo Miskashri. They're not Roy for Kabbalah's Tuma. Levana Nami. And when it comes to Levana also, Kamedol Kitchub Klishares. If you haven't put the Levana in a Klishares to be Miskadish in a Klishares, Lo Miskashra. It's not Roy for Kabbalah's Tuma. So, and not only that, Klisharis Nami, hold this Lutar B'mikvah. By Klisharis, even after they become Tameh, they still have a status of something that is Tahar, which cannot be Niftes, because Klisharis can always become Tahar, even after they became Tameh, by putting them in a mikvah. That's why this is not considered a Tuma Gemura, to allow us to be poda these things, since there is this tahara that can be achieved. So based on that, since the tumah is not really a tumah gemura, as far as being allowed to be poda them, you understand the din of the Mishnah, that Eitzim, Levana, Klisharis, that become tameh, don't have pidyon, like Kachim, that never became tameh. So that's a kasha and Shmuel, from the fact that the Mishnah says that you can't be poda Kachim tahorim, meaning if the whole reason you can't be poda even these Kachim things that are tameh, in our Mishnah, is because they're not so tameh. They're like their tahar. It's ki'ilu their tahar in a certain sense. The Eitzim and the Levona, because they're not really an ochel, so we only have certain dinim of tuma. The Klisharis, because they could become tahar. So the whole reason you can't be pulled to them is because in some sense, they are like things that are tahar. But according to Shmuel, things that actually are tahar you could be pulled to. Real tahar things you could be pulled to. So it must be the whole assumption of the Mishnah is that you can't be pulled to things that are tahar. Against Shmuel. So that's a kasha on Shmuel. So it says Mara, lo. You're misunderstanding the Mishnah. The Mishnah is not telling me that you can't be pod to these things because they have some shaychus to tahara, and that anything that is like tahar is not subject to pidyon. Niftin. Really, Shmuel is correct. Things that are tahar can in fact be nifta. You know why Eitzim, Levona, Klisharis cannot be nifta? Because what are you going to replace them with? It's very difficult to find these products that are ra'i l'mizbeach. So if we allowed the gizbar to be, if we allowed people to be pulled to them, the gizbar is going to have a hard time replacing them. So they made a takana, don't be pulled to, or you can't be pulled to, Eitzim, Levona, and Klei Sharis. But strictly speaking, you should have been able to, because you can even be pulled to things that are mamish tahar, so certainly you can be pulled to things that are tameh but are ki'ilu tahar. So says Gemara, really, they're all not shchiach, they're all so hard to find, all of these products are not readily available in the market. So bisham levona Klei Sharis lo shchichi. Okay, I get levona and Klei Sharis, that could be difficult to find, such levona and Klei Sharis that are ra'i for use. Ela Eitzim Mishkach Shrichi. There's no wood around. There's plenty of wood. So says Gemara, not the kind of wood that we need. Eitzim Nami Kivin Dam Amar Kol Eitzim Sabotolas Pasul Gabim Mizbech Hilchach Lo Shrichi. Any Eitz that has a talas, that has a worm in it, is Pasul Gabim Mizbech. So the Eitzim Latzorach Hamizbeach is something that's in a Matzui, and that's why you can't be po the Eitzim that are roy from the Mizbech, because you may not easily be able to replace it with other Eitzim. The Tos Yantif in the Mishnah Maseches Midos, where the Mishnah says this comment that Kol Eitz Shenimtza Bo Tolas is Pasul Gam Mizbech, Tos Yantif says that we never saw Smach Min HaKosov for this din. We don't find anywhere in the Pasuk that indicates any such din. But by Psul Menachos that became wormy, the Gemara had said earlier on Daf Pei Hei that Boi Rava Hikdishu Mao Shiyilka Lav Mishum Balmum, Kivin the Pasul Kabalmum Dami Odoma in Balmum El Bebehema, and the Gemara left that as a take. Remember, we had that whole series of questions whether Balmum is Shaykh even by non animals when there are other problems in other types of karbanos. So we spoke about wormy flour. Is wormy flour a Balmum? So the Gemara raised the suffix according to Rav about wormy wood. Is that a Balmum? And the Gemara says, Amr Shmuel Lo Shanu Elalach Av Yavesh Goro v'kasher. So the psul, it sounds like it's a psul of a balmum. Okay, so you do find that we don't find anywhere in the Torah that an eitz that's tola, that has tola'as in it is pasul, but we do find that balimum are pasul to be used as a karban. And the Gemara previously assumed that something that has a worm in it might have a status of an actual balmum, so maybe it's part of that pasuk of a balmum being pasul to be used as a karban. So says the Gemara now, now that we know Shita Shmuel, and we have not rejected the Shita of Shmuel, again, Shmuel Shita is, if you have Menachos and you have Nesachim, even when they're Tahar, you're able to be pod to them, so the Gemara is going to show that not everyone agrees to Shmuel. Amar Rav Papa, Yishmieli L'Shmuel Hadatanya. Rav Papa says, you know, I'm certain that if Shmuel would have heard the following Braisa, he would have changed his mind. Had he only known about the following Braisa. What does the Braisa say? Hamatvis Tmim L'Bedek Abayis. A person is Matish for Bedek Abayis, inappropriately, he's Matish Behemos that could have been used as a carbon, but only with Kedushas Bedek Abayis, for them to be used for Bedek Abayis, in the sense that the Gizbar sells them, uses the money for whatever Bedek Abayis needs, and not Matish them as a carbon. So it's in violation of a mitzvah saseh min haTorah, the Gemara Darshan's and Masechas Tmura, that Nidava Taaseh Oso, that Balmum, you're allowed to be Matish to Bedek Abayis, but you're not allowed to be Matish to Tabim to Bedek Abayis. Okay, but a guy did this. So the bottom line is, it has Kedushas Damim now, and yet you're not bringing it on the Mizbech as it is, because it has Kedushas Damim, but not Kedushas Aguf. Ain podin oso ella l'mizbeach. When you're poded it, even though you never gave it kedushas haguf, you're only allowed to be poded for the purposes of giving it kedushas haguf, of then bringing it on the mizbeach. That's the halacha, and the reason is shekol roi l'mizbeach and yotzei midei mizbeach. The olam that anything that's roi l'mizbeach and has kedusha can never be yotzei midei mizbeach. So even though this the kedusha that this animal had wasn't really kedushas HaMizbeach, it was Kedushas Damim only, but nevertheless, it's Ro'i L'Mizbeach, so therefore there is no such thing as being poded for any purpose other than the Mizbeach. V'Avagav to Kedushas Damim Ninu, even though these behemoths only have Kedushas Damim, Ein Niftin, Hol V'Tahorimim, you can't be poded them for them to become Chulin, because they're Tahor and they're Ro'i for Akrava. So Rav Papa says, if Shmuel only would have known this Braisa, have a Hadarbeh, he would have changed his mind. He would have said that he would have said that there's no way you're allowed to be poda, that which is kodesh and is tahar. And he would have said that only things that are tamei. So says Gemara Velohi. Really, he would not have changed his mind. Because Shmi alei velo hadabei. Shmuel did know this brisa, and he still didn't change his mind. Why didn't he change his mind? Lava matasim kiven to lo shchichi lo miparki. We said before, when it came to the eitz and the levona, klisharis of our Mishnah, why is it that you're not allowed to be poda those things? It's because they're lo shchichi, it's because they're irreplaceable, or they're difficult to replace, and that's why we made a din that you're not allowed to be poda. So hachanami, by behemos that are rotwi for hakrava on the mizbeach, kiven to shchichi mumen, the pasli bebehema, that feel gedugin shabai nami pasli, since it's so easy to pasul behema from mizbeach, even the most minor mum, dokin shaba'ayin, and an animal has some sort of cataract in the eye, that's enough of a mum to pasul behema. So the behema is considered something that's not matzui, that it's not so easy to find a behema that's right for akrava, and therefore you cannot be poda it unless it became tameh, even if the only kedusha it has is kedushas bedek abayis. But Shmuel was talking about menachos, nesachim, yeah, it's easy to find menachos and the Sachim that are right from the Mizbeach, and therefore Menachos and the Sachim, you're allowed to be Poda even when they are Tahar. So we tried two rejections of Shmuel, one from our Mishnah, another from this Braisa, and we pointed out that Shmuel could be perfectly fine with either one of these. It's not going to be a Stira at all. Shmuel in Achinami says you're allowed to be Poda Kachim that are Tahar, but that's only if they're easily replaceable. But if there's something that it's going to be a great challenge to replace, Shmuel of course would agree that you're not allowed to be Poda them. But now the Gemara brings not rayas against Shmuel, but those who are cholik on him. Rav Kahana Amar Tamei Niftin Tarnei Niftin. Rav Kahana is clear as day. Only Tamei things can be Nifta, that tahor things cannot be nifta. V'chenam Rav Hoshaya tamei niftin tahor nei niftin. And Rav Hoshaya says the same thing. However, ikadami am Rav Hoshaya afilu tahor niftin. There is a second version of Rav Hoshaya where he agrees with Shmuel that even tahor things can be nifta. So while we have Shmuel on one side, Rav Kahana on the other side, Rav Hoshaya we have two versions. One version where he disagrees with Shmuel and holds like Rav Kahana, and the other one where he holds like Shmuel. Rabbi Lazar Omar Kulan Tamei Niftin Torah Nei Niftin. Rabbi Lazar says, you know, by all Kabanos Mincha, he comes up with a compromise opinion. So far we haven't had a compromise. We had two extremes, and then we had a third Shita, which was one of the extremes. We just didn't know which one. Two versions, which extreme it was. Now we have a compromise opinion. Rabbi Lazar Omar Kulan Tamei Niftin Torah Nei Niftin. That all Menachos, when they are Tamei, you could be pulled to them. When they're Tar, you cannot be pulled to them. Chutz me asiru seifa shel minchas chotei, except for the asiru seifa, the flower of a minchas chotei, that could be nifte even if it's tahar. So generally, Shmuel says Rabbi Elazar, Shmuel is incorrect, except for by the minchas chotei, then Shmuel would be correct that you could even be poda something that's tahar. Why? Why is the minchas chotei different? Shairam Torah mechataso. Al-chataso. When the Torah talks about bringing the korban olah of the Yoreid, the Torah sometimes uses the word mechataso and sometimes al-chataso. Why? Because the pasuk says when it talks about a korban olah of the Yoreid, if you bring an animal or you bring b'nei yona, tarim b'nei yona, you bring birds, the pasuk says v'chiper olav ha-kohen mechataso. Yet, when the Torah describes bringing a korban mincha in the olah of the Yoreid, meaning someone who's bedali dalu, someone who's as poor as can be, and has to bring a korban mincha for his olah of the Yoreid, the pasuk says v'chiper olav ha-kohen al chataso. So the Gemara is making a drasha, and this is a brisa, finish a brisa Maseches Krisus from the lashon of the pasuk that when it talks of, whenever it says mechataso, it's telling you that you can bring part of your chatas. Meaning, let's say you have an usher, designated money to buy a behema for his korban olah of yored, and then he became a little poorer. So now he would be in the group of people that wouldn't have to bring a behema. Now he's in the group of people that would only have to bring an oath. So what does he do? He takes some of the money that he designated, buys tarim of bnei yona, buys a bird, and the rest of the money becomes chulin. That's mechataso. How does he get his kapara? By bringing from some of his chatas. And similarly, if a person was mid-range, right? He was a middle-class person. So he bought birds, and then it turned out he became poor afterwards, before he ever brought the korban. Mechataso. He brings some of that money to buy flour, and the rest of it, nothing, the rest of it is yotzei l'chulin. But what if you have someone who's bedale dalus and he bought flour for a korban and then he became more wealthy? So that's the pasuk al chataso. That's an ani that was mafresh a mincha. The hashir, he's poda that mincha, adds to the money and buys Torim of Bnei Yona. And if he gets even richer, he's poda it, adds to the money, and buys Kisvo Si'ira. And he does not have to bring all of it from Chulin. He can be poda that which he already designated as a carbon. What do you see? Very clearly, he had a mincha. It had Kedusha. It was Tahar. It was not Tamei. And yet, he's able to be poda it in order to upgrade, in order to move up to the Torim of Bnei Yona or the Kisvo Si'ira. So you see very clearly that Dafka by the Minchas Chotei. Dafka over there, you're allowed to be poda even a mincha that is tahar. But otherwise, says Rabbi Lazar, I would disagree with Shmuel. And every other type of korban mincha, I would disagree with Shmuel. Okay, but one of the opinions that we brought was the opinion of Rabbi Hoshaya. But there were two versions of Rabbi Hoshaya. Whether he held like Shmuel, that that which is tahar can be nifta, or whether he held like, who was it, Rav Kahana, that it cannot be nifta. So once we mention Rabbi Hoshaya, the Gemara is going to bring another comment that he has, which is going to relate back to this discussion. So Amar Rav Hoshaya, Shamati Pigel B'mincha L'Rabbi Shimon. He says, I heard that if you're that if you're a person makes a korban mincha pigel, that according to Rabbi Shimon, that which is asvana doesn't have tumas ochlin, ainu matami tumas ochlin. If you are mefagel a korban mincha, so it is now asvana, you're not allowed to eat it, and therefore it doesn't take on the status of tumas ochlin. It cannot become tame in the category of tuma that food would normally become tame. tamei with. So the Tanya, where do we find that this is the sheet of Rabbi Shimon? Because Rabbi Shimon holds in the Braisa, ha'orla v'kilei akerem. He gives a whole list of things that are asr ba'ana. So if you have orla, kilei akerem, shara niskal, that had a gemar din ready for skila because it killed the person, and it was shechted before it was niskal. The egla arufa, you have an egla arufa that and then again you shechted it instead of doing the process of egla arufa that you were supposed to do. Arifa's on the back of the neck with the kofitz and whatever. They took this animal before they, even though it was designated for egla arufa, and they shechted. Vitzipare mitzora, or you have a bird that was shechted for the azaz dam of the mitzora, for the tarah process of the mitzora. Upeter chamar. You have a firstborn chamar that was not niftes, and it was shechted for a goy to eat it. Ubasa b'chalav, or you have basa b'chalav. All these things are isuri anah. Kula metamei tumas ochlin. All of these things the Tanna Kama says, they all take on the status of tumas ochlin, meaning they even though they're isuri anah, they're ochel, meaning they are physically edible. So as long as they're physically edible, it's called tumas. It could be subject to tumas ochlin. Who disagrees though? Rabbi Shimon Omer, kulan ein mitam and tumas ochlin. No, none of these things have tumas ochlin because all of these things are asur bahana'a. However, even Rabbi Shimon would agree, umoda Rabbi Shimon bebasa b'chalav shemetame tumas ochlin. Even Rabbi Shimon would agree that basa b'chalav is metame tumas ochlin. Why? Hol v'haysol ha'shasa kosher. Because at least basa b'chalav once was kosher. There was a time that this food was right to eat. Namely, before you cooked it together, each one was right to eat on its own. So even if because the halacha is, even basa that's sitting in chalav all day long on a daraisa level is perfectly kosher. It only becomes non-kosher on a daraisa level when it's nespashal yachad, when they're cooked together. So because of that, when you first put the ingredients in the pot, the basra and the chalav in the pot, it was perfectly kosher, even though they were mixed together. It's only when you turned on the fire and cooked them together that they became asr bahana. So because of that, it has a shame ochel, and therefore it's going to be subject to tumas ochlin. Va'amar Rabasi Amar Biyachon, my time is Rabbi Shimon. But leaving out Basar B'chalav for a second, why is it that Rabbi Shimon holds that anything that's asr bahana'a, again leaving out Basar B'chalav, anything that's asr bahana'a is not subject to tumas ochlin? Because the pasuk says mikol ha'ochel asher yeyachel. In the parsha that discusses tumas ochlin, the pasuk says mikol ha'ochel asher yeyachel, and says asher yavolav mayim yitma. As long as it had a hechshel kabel tuma, so it could become tamei. So what are we darshan from the phrase ha'ochel asher yeyachel? Ochel shatiyachel achil lacherim karei ochel. Only food that you're able to feed to somebody else is called ochel as far as the status of tumas ochlin is concerned. Ochel shiyati ochel achil lacherim eino kari ochel. But if you have food that you cannot feed to somebody else, then it's not called food as far as tumas ochlin is concerned. Vapigal b'minchanami said that Rabbi Oshaya says, that's where I learned that if a person is mefagel l'kabar mincha, that it's not going to be subject to tumas ochlin. Because if Rabbi Shimon holds this drasha, that only the kind of food you're allowed to feed to someone else subject to Masochlin, if you are mefagel kabri mincha, you cannot feed it to somebody else, and therefore it's not subject to Masochlin. It's a food that you cannot feed to somebody else. It became pasul me'achila, you're chayiv to burn it, and therefore, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's not an ochel as far as Masochlin is concerned. Frankly, Gemara, okay, but if that's Rabbi Shimon's whole logic, that anything that you're not allowed to feed to somebody else is not called an ochel as far as Masochlin is concerned, ihachi, pasul b'chol v'na, then shouldn't he have said the same when it comes to basar b'chalav? Meaning, bottom line, are you allowed to feed basar b'chalav to somebody else? The answer is no. You're not allowed to give basar b'chalav. It's asr b'hana. So if basar b'chalav is asr b'hana, why is it that according to Rabbi Shimon, it's subject to tumas ochlin? Typically, I'm sorry, but when it comes to basar b'chalav, Rabbi Shimon is moda that it's considered a food for tumas ochlin. Why does he have to say that the reason is, I'm saying it backwards because I'm thinking about how we paskin, not how Rabbi Shimon holds. Why is it that why does Rabbi Shimon have to say that the reason by basar b'chalav is because it once had a shasa kosher? That's why it's called an ochel. No, Rabbi Shimon just defined ochel for us. His definition of ochel is anything that you're allowed to feed to somebody else. And we're about to say, guess what? Rabbi Shimon holds, Basar B'chalav, you are allowed to feed to somebody else. Basar B'chalav is not Asr Ba'ana. We happen to hold Asr Ba'ana. We hold, like the Gemara says, other Tanaim say that. The Torah says three times that Lo Sivash L'Kadib B'chalav Imo, Echel Isra Achila, Echel Isra Bishla, Echel Isra Ana. So we happen to hold Basar B'chalav Asr Ba'ana. But Rabbi Shimon didn't hold that way. So according to Rabbi Shimon's Geder, of anything you're allowed to feed to other people is called an Ochel, as far as the Mesochlin, Basar B'chalav is an Ochel, and therefore should be subject to Mesochlin, not because it was once kosher, the reason that he gave in the Braisa, a more fundamental reason. It's really an Ochel. Why doesn't Rabbi Shimon just say it's because it's a food that you're able to feed to somebody else? Did Tanya, like the Braisa says, Rabbi Shimon, Yudomer Mishum Rabbi Shimon, Basa B'chalav Asa B'achila U'Mutar Bana. Basa B'chalav, you may not be allowed to eat it, you aren't allowed to eat it, but it's Mutar Bana, Shenemar, because by Basa B'chalav, the Pasuk says, Ki Am Kadosh Atal Hashem Elokecha, Lo Sivash Al Gedi B'chalav Imo. That Dafka, in the context of telling us, Lo Sivash Al Gedi B'chalav Imo, the Torah calls us an Am Kadosh, so we link that with another time that the Torah refers to us as Kadoshim. Ula Lanu Omer, the Pasuk says, Va'anshei Kodesh Tiyuni, in the pasuk of Treifa, it calls us Anshei Kodesh as well. And the next words in that pasuk are very famous words and very critical for our drasha, Lakelef Tashlichun also. What do you do with Treifa meat? You give it to a dog. So you see that it's Mutter Ba'ana. So what do you see from here? The Torah calls us an Am Kodesh, Anshei Kodesh, in two different contexts, by Basar B'chalav and by Treifa. So Mala Halon, just like by Treifa, Asar B'chilu Mutter Ba'ana, it's Asar, but we know it's Mutar B'ana because you're allowed to give it to your dog, even though you're responsible for feeding your dog, so that's a real Hana'a. So Afkan, Asar B'achila, Mutar B'ana. So in Basar B'chalav as well, it's Asar B'achila, but Rabbi Shimon holds it is Mutar B'hana'a. So it's an Ochel Shati Yachal Achila L'Acherim. So why in the Braisa does Rabbi Shimon have to say that the reason Basar B'chalav is subject to Tumas Ochlin is because it had a Shasa Kosher, it was once okay? No, more fundamentally, it's subject to Tumas Ochlin because it's something that you're allowed to feed to other people. Says Gemara, you're right, Chadava Od Kamar. When Rabbi Shimon says in the Braisa because it had a Shasa Kosher, he's just throwing on an additional reason why it's subject to Tumas Ochlin. Chadava the first and most fundamental reason why Basar B'chalav, according to Rabbi Shimon, is subject to Mesochlin is because it's Yachal Achila L'Acherim, you're allowed to feed it to other people, it's not Asar Ba'ana. V'od L'Didei Nami Haysalo Shasa Kosher. And an additional reason, even for yourself, even if you're not feeding it to other people, it was kosher once before it became Asar, and therefore Dinei Tumas Ochlin should be Shaykh to it. When it comes to all the other Yisurim that are mentioned in the Braisa, they never had a Shasa Kosher. They were always Asr. And therefore, and they're Asr Ba'ana, so you can't feed them to other people. And therefore, there's not Shaykh Din Tumas Ochlin, because neither of these halachos that put Basar B'chalav in the category of Tumas Ochlin apply to all the rest, to Egla Rufa and Shara Niskal and Orla and all the rest. So says Gemara, Meisvei. So we ask, wait a second, there's a Tosefta as follows. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yesh Noser Shumatami Tumas Ochlin, Yesh Noser She'ena Matami Tumas Ochlin. There is such a thing as Noser that is Matami Tumas Ochlin, and there's also Noser that's not Matami Tumas Ochlin. Ketzad, how do you have sometimes Noser that is Matami Tumas Ochlin, sometimes not? Lon Lefnei Zrika, if the carbon went overnight before you were ever zorik the dam on the mizbeach, and therefore became pasul midin nosar, eino matami tumas ochlin. Since that carbon was never kosher to eat, because it's only hukshal achila when you do the zrika, so it already had a lina before the zrika became pasul, before you ever had a chance to be machshrit. That carbon never had a shasa kosher, so then it's not going to have din of tumas ochlin because it was never kosher, right? Like Rabbi Shimon said about Basar B'chalav, that Basar B'chalav is only considered Tamei Tumas Ochlin because it once was kosher. But anything that was never kosher is not going to have a status of Tumas Ochlin. But l'achar zrika, what if you did the zrika sadam, and the basar is perfectly fine now, and then it went through a lina, so it had a shasa kosher? then mitame tumas ochlin. Then it's going to become tame tumas ochlin. Upigul bein bekachim kachim bein bekachim kalim ena mitame tumas ochlin. Pigul is never going to become tame tumas ochlin. Piga b'mincha mitame tumas ochlin. But if you're mefagel korban mincha, it is mitame tumas ochlin. So what do you see? That Rabbi Shimon's shita is that a mincha that became pigul is still subject to tumas ochlin. That's against the whole chiddush of Rav Hoshaya. Rav Hoshaya started this whole discussion on the very bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Aleph by saying that I think, according to Rabbi Shimon, that if you're mefagel a korban mincha, it's not subject to tumas ochlin, because anything that's asur ba'na is not subject to tumas ochlin. And here you have explicitly pigel b'mincha mitame tumas ochlin. So it's against what Rabbi Hoshaya said in the name of Rabbi Shimon. Says the lo kasha. You can't ask Rabbi Hoshaya from this brisa. Because the Bryce is talking about a mincha that you were mefagel but had a shasa kosher. It was mutar ba'na'a before it was ever hukdash. So it was subject to tumas ochlin. Remember, that's Rabbi Shimon's geder. When is something subject to tumas ochlin? If it once had a shasa kosher, so then it's going to be subject to tumas ochlin. Well, a korban mincha that you were mefagel before you ever made it a korban mincha, it was just grain, it was just flour. So at that point it was subject to tumas ochlin. So mele, It had a shasa kosher, and therefore it stays that way. But Khan, when Rav Hoshaya says that a mincha that your mefagel is not subject to tumas ochlin, shaloi sala shasa kosher, he's talking about a korban mincha that never in its existence was ever roy to be eaten, was ever considered an ochel. Says Mara, never in its existence. What about before you were mashkishit? Why wasn't it an ochel then? Say echidami, shaloi sala shasa kosher. How could he even have such a case of it never ever having had a shasa kosher? Sure, daktishinu b'mechubar. It could be that the Bailum was maktishit while it was still grain growing from the ground. When it was still mechubar l'karka. When it's mechubar l'karka, it's not called an ochel yet. So from its very existence as an ochel, it was already huktash. So it never was ro'i la'achila. So says the Gemara, b'falifrakinu, you could always be poded the karban mincha before you makadishin in the kli shares, and that therefore would give it a shasa kosher, because even though you were maktish it while it was still growing from the ground, you could still be poded it. Says Gemara, hani chalach lishna damar v'osher tamei niftin tar ne niftin. Ah, this is where we bring back to our original discussion. This is where Amud Aleph comes back. Remember, we had a machlokas Shmuel that said that a korban mincha that's tar you could be poda. Rav Kahana disagreed. No, only one that's tame you could be poda. Rav Hoshaya, two versions of Rav Hoshaya. Some say he yelled like Shmuel, some say he yelled like Rav Kahana. So says Gemara, if you assume that he yelled that tamei niftin tar nei niftin against Shmuel like Rav Kahana, that which is tar cannot be nifta, then shapir, then I understand. And the way Rabbi Hoshaya is explaining Rabbi Shimon right now, because you can't be poda kachim torim, and therefore, if you have a korban mincha that you were makdish when it was still mechubar lekarka, it never had a shas hakosher. Couldn't you be poda? According to this version, no, because it was tahar, and you can't be poda anything that's tahar. But if you assume like the other version of Rav Hoshaya, that like the one that holds like Shmuel, that even that which is tar you could be poda, so can't you be poda the grain before you makdish it in the kli shares? And doesn't that therefore give it the status of something that had a shas hakosher and is therefore subject to tumas ochlin? So Gemara says no, because hashtumi elo parik. Had you been poda it, it would have had a shasa kosher. But you weren't poda it. The fact that you could have been poda it is not enough to be considered a shasa kosher. From the time this was mechubar lekarka, it was already kadosh. It was already you were already makdish it. So it was already not roi l'achila. You could have made it roi l'achila, but you didn't. And if you didn't, then there's nothing to discuss. It never had a shasa kosher. The kiven the bayi parikle shaminu le Rabbi Shimon da amar kalomi liftos kepadidami. So says Mar, but wait a second, that's not necessarily true. Shouldn't the fact that you could have been poded it be enough? Because Rabbi Shimon is the one that holds that anything that's ome liftos, any hektish that you can be poded, even if you haven't yet been poded it, it's as if you've already been poded it. Tanya, because we have a Mishnah Maseches Para, or Brisa Maseches Para, Rabbi Shimon Omer, that even something that's Asur B'Na'a doesn't have a status of an ochel as far as Tumah is concerned, para metame to mesochlin. A para duma does have the status of an ochel. Why? Hol v'haisol l'shasa kosher. Because it was once kosher. What do you mean? When was it ever kosher? V'amar Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish says, yeah, because Omer Hayi Rabbi Shimon para nifte salgave ma'arachta, that you could have been poda the para even up until the last moment, even when you have it up on the ma'aracha, the pile of wood where you're going to shecht it and you're going to burn it. Even then, if you find a nicer one, you could still be poda at that time. So you see that the fact that it was roi for pidyon is enough to be considered shasa kosher, and that's enough to give it the status of Tumas Ochlin. Says Amar Hachi Ashta, Bishlam Apara Omedes Liftosi, She Matzah Cheres Nai Mana Mitzvah Liftosa, Elahani Menachos Mitzvah Liftosan. No, you can't compare the two. By a Para Aduma, it's a mitzvah to be podded, so you can call that Ome Liftos, because you're supposed to be podded if you find a better one, even at the very last minute. But by Kabbalah's Mincha, there's no such thing of a mitzvah to be podded when it's Tahar. No, you're supposed to bring that Kabbalah Mincha, you're supposed to still use it. So the fact that you could have been poda it before you were makdashin in a klisha race is not enough to make it considered that which had a shasa kosher, and therefore it's not enough for it to be considered a din of Tumas Ochlin. And that's why the Gemara says that according to Rabbi Shimon, you do have such a thing as a Kabbar Mincha that never had a Shasa Kosher. So when you have a Kabbar Mincha that had a Shasa Kosher, it's Metame Tumas Ochlin. When it never had a Shasa Kosher, it's not Metame Tumas Ochlin. Just to close, parenthetically, the idea that you can be poda to the para up until the last minute, some of the posts can use as a raya in the discussion of a person who's generally makbid by Ner Chanukah and using Shemen, and he already set up wax candles in his menorah, and then shemen became available, should he take the wax out and use the shemen? I mean, the fact that you've already started the process, do you say, okay, it's too late and we can't stop it? Or do you say, no, you do stop it? You see by the Para Aduma that you do stop it in order to bring that which is better. Okay.